Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome everybody to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank you guys for another day of being here and able to get together and assemble and speak about important issues. I want to thank my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yevon, CJ Domerica, Rodney Williams, Monster Mouse, and of course, last but not least, our activist and panelist from Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Zeddy Williams. I want to thank our sister stations, the 93.1 Jam Pack Radio in Toledo, Ohio, syndicating us every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m., and to Jason Dowd and the AM-FM 247 Network, syndicating us every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. on the web and also on some terrestrial stations across the U.S. Also, looking forward to our upcoming merger with GoPro Radio in Tylon, Washington, out in Jersey City. Tylon, thank you for all that you have done as a listener and a backer and everything else. I want to thank my panelists, Stalo Jenkins, Professor Carlton Jones, Erica Talbert, Patrick Irvine, Altarique Atkins, Kim Milton, Darlene and Arlene. You guys have been fantastic in helping out Tylon. You guys come through all the time with some awesome contributions and input, and I want to thank you. I want to thank the social media neighborhood that's been out there supporting me in the pre-broadcast discussions. That is the On the Edge Listeners Lounge with Katie Barnett. You guys rock. To our sponsor tonight, Mark Pittman, with his two groups, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black History Suppressed Group. I want to thank Patrick Irvine with the Urban Intellectuals Group. I want to thank Professor Carlton Jones with the What About Us Group, and Linda Middle with the Black Love and Conversations Group, Marvin Young with the Capitalist N Group. You guys are fantastic and passionate, and I love it, so thank you all very much. Now, we have been covering these riots and everything that you have been seeing in the news with regards to Michael Brown's death is the catalyst up front right now, but we are celebrating and commemorating our fallen victims that have been taken senselessly to these ridiculous vigilantism that's coming out of our police forces across the land. I want to touch on all of the things that we need to do now that these young people out in St. Louis have been brave enough to set the stage for change for the Black Americans. Here's what we are going to do. Tonight we are going to be discussing two aspects. A, we're going to be discussing your thoughts and feelings on their choice of expression. And B, we're going to be discussing how it is that now that these young kids have taken it upon themselves to set the stage and break the cycle, the silent cycle that has set the stage to break our silence, how are we going to make sure that now that we are rejuvenated or have awoken, say that again, have awakened, how are we going to make sure that this big move, this crucial step, this very relevant beginning, okay, doesn't die out? And we're back in the same boat again. So tonight we're going to be celebrating Christian rapper T.R. Robinson because all of his music really is appropriate to these happenings. And tonight we're going to be going out with Catchem on the way back from him and a word from our sponsor. We'll be get ready to start this discussion. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it locked with Katie.
Catch him, catch him. catch him at the bar flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they
before you hit the clubby in the mirror, I'ma kill these niggas. Then have a couple drinks and actually kill them. And it's a problem when we go out. Feeling need to show out. Shorty walk by, wanna pull that bank roll out. The youngin' in the back like I'ma get him when he roll out. Catch the ball slippin', then he pull that fo-fo out. The one that play the wall, we the ones that really draw. Actin' stupid like you don't got a pocket full of raw. Mean muggin', buggin', call itself thuggin'. Paid $10 just to get into something. Before the night's out, he gon' end up in something like a jail cell. Oh well, no money for bail. All cause he was up in here, turned up off pills and dippers. That's like ride around with no stickers. Smoking on the L with a bottle full of liquor. He would rather fight than be with the model taking pictures. Danger, danger, stress leads to anger. Throw a little vodka in and now he got the banger. Pointed at strangers, do us a favor. Turn that gun around and won't you look in the chamber. Since you wanna kill somebody, kill your body. We can drag him in the alley, you ain't gon' kill his party. Next time you bring your gun, please leave it in the car. Cause we shouldn't have the duck bullets leaving out the bar.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no one ever. Catch him at the bar. Flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling me. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling me.
Cause when that gun busts, it won't hit none of y'all. It'll ricochet off the bar and hit one of us. And I ain't come for that, I ain't trying to run to that. Trampin' over people running back like a running back. All cause he built your ass, that ain't no step back. Man, I'm trying to two-step, you try crew check. Trying to have a good time, you try to kill my vibe. Don't kill people, homie, kill time by dancing with a little mommy. You ain't got Superman, you ain't got Dougie Fresh. Just don't do the shoot the man. Tough looks, ice grill, he's sweeter than Joanna, man. Why you worry about me? You acting like you want a man. Up in the club, the bull acting like the sun of sand. Waving his gun around. Really need to simmer down, cool off, relax. Yo, that's your bulldog. Ask him if he cool, dog. He looking like a fool, dog. Danger, danger, stress leads to anger. Throw a little vodka in and now we got the banger. Pointed at strangers, do us a favor. Turn that gun around and won't you look in the chamber. Since you wanna kill somebody, kill your body. We can drag him in the alley, you ain't gonna kill this party. Next time you bring your gun, please leave it in the car. Cause we shouldn't have the duck bullets leaving out the bar.
Uh-oh, here they go again.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling me.
Danger, danger, stress leads to anger. Throw a little vodka in and now we got the banger. Pointed at strangers, do us a favor. Turn that gun around and won't you look in the chamber. Since you wanna kill somebody, kill your body. We can drag him in the alley, you ain't gon' kill this party. Next time you bring your gun, please leave it in the car. Cause we shouldn't have the duck bullets leaving out the bar.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no Hillary. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling me.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are going to get right into this discussion. We are watching this. Some of them are calling it a revolution. We're calling it expression. Some people want to call it a riot. Some people want to call it a mob. Other people are calling it protest. However which way you'd like to spin it, there is a change happening. People are outraged about yet another loss of a young life to some vigilante, prejudiced, racist, ignorant, angry, out-of-control cop. The people designed in place, put in place to protect and serve, and yet they have credentials for performing their duties, meaning if you don't fit the white mold, you are not in the protective circle. All over the place, the videos of this man holding his hands up, this young man holding his hands up, saying, "Don't shoot me," and still being shot not once, not twice, not three times, but a full clip pretty much into this little boy. Little boy headed to college to do something for himself. Well, we know there's a war. We know we're under attack. You know what? Back then, it was outright lynching, it was outright shooting you, and it was okay because everybody was on board with it. Now it's systematic breakdown. Now it's even escalated to a new type of war. And you know what? We're under two types of violations as a black people. It's called the wild black crime, and it's the new black era, meaning everything we do, if we're guilty of it while black. Insert any verb of your choice here. We're guilty of walking while black, standing while black, congregating while black, talking back while black. We're guilty of being born while black, arguing while black. This is a problem because anything while black means you are a target bullseye, that's it. To those of you who are on the opposite side of the black fence and these do not apply to you, do not step into the shoes. And if you are offended, that means there's something you feel you should be doing and you're too afraid to do it. Now let's talk about is the new black era. Anything negative, anything dissecting, anything degrading, anything demoralizing, anything destructive is now being tagged with the "It's the new black" tag. Okay? Orange is the new black. Orange represents the prison uniform. Gay is the new black. Gay represents an untradition. Those of you that don't know that I'm not sitting here posing an opinion about homosexuality, lesbianism, or whatever, like that statement, well, kindly look up what it means to be bashing somebody and then have something to say. But as it stands right now, being that that particular thing seems to be one of the systematic implementations to dissect, to denormalize, to desensitize, to effeminize our black men and our black community, frankly, behind all of that, I don't really care whose feelings are hurt behind this one. I want to take a couple of minutes to give a beautiful commendation to a wonderful, passionate man, someone I admire much, who goes out of his way on a daily basis just to do all that he can in his occupation and his regular life, and that is Professor Carl Tone Jones, who just earlier, not too long before we started this, has his own wonderful forum called From the Porch, and I know that it's Thursdays from 6 to 9. I'm not sure if he's added a new slot. When he comes in, he will let, you know, fill you in on the detail. But this man is an aware activist. He's a passionate human. To those of us in the community who is looking for someone that actually gives a damn, that actually will act and not just talk, he walks the walk, he's one. You want to go over to somebody else who's actually active in what they're doing, and you can speak with Patrick Irvine. You want to talk about four passionate ladies, actually. Let's talk about Erica Talbert. Let's talk about Kim Milton. Let's talk about Darlene and Arlene. Let's talk about the fact that the Black Panthers are up and in effect once again, not giving a damn about whose feelings are hurt when it comes down to making sure things are happening. That's not something that the white world that we so desperately try to please and be accepted in wants to hear. They don't care about that. You clearly can see that because you know what? Their bullets have no limits. Their hatred has no criteria. There's no softness because they're targeting a child. Their children are just as equally disposable as everybody else. You don't believe me? Ask your grandfather if he can remember seeing a slave for sale in a newspaper as if it was an apartment somewhere or a car or a lawnmower. And I'm giving you some nice analogies and comparisons because that's not what they would have compared us to back in those days. So now let's get to tonight's topic at hand, and I already see we have a eager panelist. Just hang on with me, and I'll bring you right in just a sec. Our kids have shamed us, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by shamed, because it was them that got up and did something. While all of us sat on our asses, buried our hands, covered our eyes, plugged up our ears, our nose, our mouth, just so we won't have any sensors going off or connecting or identifying that elephant in the room. And now all of you cowardly people have the nerve to sit there and have criticism as to what these kids chose to do. They are children. So they did what they know to do, is to react, to act out, to do whatever. And guess what? It's probably the first, most important, most relevant thing that has been done since the Civil Rights era. So in case you don't get it, my opinion on the first question tonight, which is what do you think of the choice of method that these kids use, I'm not particularly fond of it being a riot per se, being that Rodney King's riots wasn't the best for us. But these kids even got smart enough to not ruin something that is beneficial to us and our progress. It hasn't even been a bloody mass or anything that affects, not by what they're doing, but once again, even in our right to verbalize our anger. We've got mounds and mounds of units and agencies and outside forces coming in to stabilize us. They're telling us when we can protest. We even have time limits now. They're not even allowing us to peacefully express ourselves. They're coming out with armed gadgets, with canines if they have to, with tear gas tasers for children. And those of you who to this point have failed these children have not led and been their protectors, because if you were doing your roles and you were doing your jobs, it should have been a bunch of you sitting in the kids' place, protecting them by telling them to go in the house while you go out into the street and do what the hell you have to do. So I have a problem with anybody who sits back here at this point and says, these children shouldn't have did it that way. You didn't take a wheel to the car whatsoever. Now, to those of you who voiced it from the sense of that we don't want ourselves to have to be dealing with the aftermath, because as Panther pointed out earlier today, which makes perfect sense, once the noise is over and the protests are over and the yelling and the screaming is over, whatever's been damaged in that neighborhood, they have to live it. And those that don't belong in the neighborhood will return to their homes, and not have to deal with the mess. So I understand people voicing a a contradiction to the choice of not even rioting, pretty much just going out there and protesting in a mob, in the sense of the word. I can understand their point on that. But do I give a damn that they chose to riot as a first step? No. Do I care that they'll ruin ourselves or our community? Yeah, that's not happening, though. But I say to those of you who didn't even bother to try and you left your head in the sand while you peeked out the side of your pretend-to-be-asleep eyes, shut up. And let these kids do what the hell you should have done. And don't dare sit there and be like society and break them apart and tear down their morale and tear down their bravery and sit there and shake your damn head at them while the rest of the world has been doing that to the point of killing them off when they do. Now I'm going to bring in our panelists to get this discussion started. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie. This is Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark. You're my first panelist tonight. Hi, what's up? Welcome, and thank you once again for sponsoring the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, I thought I'd listen in again tonight now that I have the opportunity to do it. And I understand tonight's topic we're talking about the situation in the town of Ferguson. And I think one of the big things, notable changes that I think is good is the fact that they brought in some new officers to run or at least police the town while this situation is still going on. I watched CNN earlier tonight. They had a good interview on there, and I'm liking what I'm hearing. They seem to have realized that they needed to make a change, get rid of those military tactics they were using against a peaceful crowd. They were inciting more than anything else. Tonight, it's a whole different world out there from what I understand. But larger than that, I want to say that what's happening in Ferguson actually needs to go national. We can't drop the ball on this now that we have the attention about what's going on in our community with the cities with the cities that are policing us. Ferguson is a microcosm. I think somebody mentioned that last night on your show. Ferguson is a microcosm of all of America. And, you know, what we have is a large black community being run by a police force. It doesn't look like them, doesn't represent them, and really doesn't respect them either. So I think a lot of that needs to change all over this country. You know, so we should drop the ball with just focusing on Ferguson. We've got these situations going on all over the country, and they all need to be addressed on a national level, not just in Ferguson, what's happening out there. Another thing I wanted to mention was there's been a lot of talk about all of the military equipment we see in our cities now. It's ridiculous. But I want to say in regard to that is that policy comes from Washington. They're the ones that set up this program, as it's called, a 1033 program, where they allow military equipment to be shipped to cities all over the country. And it's like the cops, they see this stuff as new toys. They want to bring out their toys, and that's what they did last night in Ferguson. They got new toys to play with. They hardly get a chance to bring them out. So they brought them out, and they had a ball. And it's the citizens who suffer from it. But,
absolutely, I'm sorry.
There was a legislator today that I heard on TV talking about they wanted to demilitarize the city police forces, and I think that needs to happen. And it starts with that 1033 program that was a part of Homeland Security. All this stuff came on because we had those wars overseas, and they had plenty of surplus stuff. And they, when they got through with it, they shipped it back to the United States with nobody to give it to except who? The local police force. They don't need that stuff. You know, the stuff we saw on TV with the smoke grenades and carrots, it looked like Iraq. We don't need that in America.
Yep. I agree with you. Mark, I agree with you. But they need it if they're not really going in there with a clean agenda. So they need it because then they can hype it up like our professor loves to say all the time, the propaganda. Now, what you were speaking about a little bit earlier leads us to tonight's two broadcast questions, which is A, what is your feeling on the choice of expression that the children use? And B, now that they've made it, regardless of what your opinion is about the fact that they chose to do it this way, how do you think that we can finally wake up, step up, take our roles alongside these kids, guide them now, and make sure that the fire stays lit, that we don't, our voices don't die once the riots do or once the noise dies down? So first, how do you feel about the fact that they chose to protest this way? And B, how do you think that now that the critical steps of initiational change has been put into place, how do you think that we can continue to make sure that it doesn't die out?
Well, I think one way we need to address, starting with the militarization of the police force. The way I see it, if they've got enough money to buy all this military equipment, police force in the United States should have enough money to put cameras on those policemen. Every one of them needs to have a camera so we can see how they're treating the public all over this country. Why not? If they got money to buy $700,000 tanks, they can buy a $200 camera for each one of their officers. We, on a national level, that's where we need to start addressing it. Let's take away the military equipment, make these guys responsible for the community or to the community. And we start that by policing the police. And we do that. Let's start with everybody wearing a camera. Let's see how they what kind of community service we get then. There was a report in that came out a while ago about the city of Rialto out here in California, in Southern California. Their police force was mandated to start wearing cameras on them, every one of them. And within 1 year, they had 86% drop in police brutality charges. Can you believe that? 86%.
Yes, I can. And what gets me is that why the hell don't they see the instant pattern in that? Obviously, the police, knowing they're being policed, couldn't do whatever they plan to do when they think they're not being looked at. Now, the only thing that I do want to say with that, just a slight bit contradicting that particular suggestion, is that even with cameras, these guys have been excused, pardoned, paroled, or whatever the hell else it is. You understand?
Well,
Michael Brown.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, babe. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. So go. You say what you got to say so I can reply properly.
I want to say, we saw last night, you're right. You're absolutely right. Even with the cameras rolling, we saw police overreaching. They had it on the news today about what they did to the Al Jazeera news that was out there filming. They turned the camera. First, they threw a smoke grenade at them or tear gas to get them out of the way. Then they took their camera, faced it to the ground, took their lighting, turned it to the ground. They don't want to be seen, and that's what we got to get out of there. We got to get that mentality that they are allowed to do anything they want to do. That's what we need to stop. It's too much of an aggressive mentality. They work for the community. The community pays their salaries, and we need to reinforce that with them, make sure they understand that. There's no way in Ferguson that they should have a police force of 53 police officers and only three of them are black. There's a complete disconnect. And, you know, now I'm hearing you got the mayor and the police chief out there saying, yeah, we recognize we have this problem. Well, you know what? That problem has been there for years. They haven't done anything about it. That's the problem. Now all of a sudden it's news to them, wow, we shouldn't be doing that. And I've even heard other police officers from different forces on TV saying, you know, the demographics of their police force need to change. There's no way you can have that kind of stuff going on. And you know that the majority of those officers who are white, they were raised in white communities. They don't live out there. They're not from that community. So what, you know, they're not invested in the community, basically. They're not invested in it.
I feel the same way about those people who take those so-called quote-unquote data statistics. You know, are you really going into the black hood and finding out what the rate of actual crime is and how much are you really reporting that's true to form about how these white people, cops, are shooting down our kids? Are you really there to see how many times a black person has been found dead or raped and nobody reported it or gave a damn to investigate it. So you're absolutely right, Mark, on that one. You're absolutely right. But like we were speaking about on the cameras, Michael Brown has been seen in several different people's video footage holding his hands up in broad daylight in an open field and saying out loud with another witness standing there that I'm unarmed. I don't have anything. Don't shoot me. And got shot not once, not twice, not even four times. More than that. And still people are going, we have to review the evidence before we can say something about that. So cameras, I'm not sure if that's the big thing, but I do believe it's a great start. There are quite a few panelists behind you. Let me bring them in and give them a shot. It's, as long as you could stay, Mark, please stay. Hang on a second.
Yeah, well, I heard from the mother, she was on TV, and she said that he's got 8 bullet wounds in him. So he was shot 8 times.
Right,
eight times.
He was such a damn threat, standing 15 feet away from the man with no arms. Right. Welcome to the show, Colby. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hello to you,
Oh,
stranger.
Yes. Hey,
how are you,
Katie? Once again, a very important and poignant program that you have here. My name is Kylon.
Hold on one second. Let me bring the other panelists in, and you'll have the mic first, okay? Hang on a second.
Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello?
I don't know. Is it?
Oh. Is it?
Yeah, New Mexico.
Oh, that's me. How you doing, Katie? It's Kevin Crosby, Panther Party. How you doing?
Hey, Kevin from the Panther Party. You're second on the mic, all right, hon? Give me a second. I got one more to bring in. Welcome to the show, Chloe. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Kim in Chicago.
Hey, Spitfire. How are you? Okay. You're going to be third on the mic, okay? Tylon, darling, let me hear what you have to say.
Well, I really like the, idea of the cameras and all that stuff is really nice. It gives you a really good, fuzzy feeling. I think we have to just stay focused on the root that, it's white supremacy, and nothing's really going to change significantly, at least in a way that's going to impact our communities like it really needs to. And I'm saying our communities, we really don't have any, especially when you can have, we don't control who's policing these communities. We don't control who even picks up the garbage. I'm for revolution. I really think what the young people are doing out there is inspirational. There's a lot of inspirational capital that we seem to overlook that happens when you see legitimate outbursts like we see uprising that you see out in Ferguson that I think you'll see duplicated now in other places because a lot of people are saying, we can't have it. And I think anything short of a radical change is just not going to work. The system, once again, was never designed to empower black people. And I think we should be, really discussing how do we go out there and join them or, when things go wrong out here, to probably follow suit and turn over some tables and disrupt some stuff as opposed to trying to look, sophisticated and civilized when people are acting uncivilized, towards you and your kith and kin. So I applaud what they're doing. I totally support it. I don't look at them as, just merely looters and all that other kind of stuff. I think it's a legitimate uprising to oppression that's going to probably take some better shape down the road as more and more people engage in what they're starting to understand now as not only a police state but a police nation. And that's it. I think anything short of a revolution is just – it's silly. It's just temporary. It's not going to really work.
Tylon, drop the mic, because I'm totally with you. They're consistently trying to push now that their BS has turned and bit them in their own asses, now they want to turn around and go, let's talk about this quietly. No, you weren't coming to us with reason and sound mind and all these things. You were coming to execute. You were coming to get rid of the niggas, get rid of the monkeys, get rid of the savages, the uncivilized. You came here to kill, period. Okay? Every single time that there's a report of a crime and it happens to be in a black demographical area, here comes a mob of cops. It's not the two standard people that ride along or walk along. It's a damn mob. It doesn't matter if the person is unarmed, unaggressive, unviolent, nonviolent. It doesn't matter if they're injured. They're black, and that's all that counts on the table. So, no, I'm not here to try to help you get your damn feelings under control. I'm not here because you tapped me and I punched you out. No, I'm not here with that. Now, there is a part two to this dialogue before I turn it over to Brother Kevin. And my part two is, now that these kids have done what we as adults should have done, and they've gone out there and they've taken this first critical initiative step, how do we as a community that's waking up finally, at least most of us are, make sure that once the riots have, you know, I hate saying riots because these kids have done nothing to show riot behavior, but now when the noise dies down, when all the throwing of and the frustration comes down and they leave the neighborhood and it's all back to whatever, how do we as the responsible or the party that's supposed to be the leading party, okay, make sure that this is not yet another post-Malcolm, post-Martin Luther King's death? How do we keep the fire rolling?
Well, yeah, I mean, how do you keep the fires burning? You fan the flames. You pour gasoline on it, and that's supporting them even with our words. I mean, having a show like this is actually, you know, adding to the fuel because we're providing clarity and context contrary to what the fake stream media is pumping out there. So I think, you know, there's things that you can do with your mouth. If you don't have any money to send down there, there's information that you can provide via Facebook in terms of how to even create a gas mask, how to use marbles against horses. I mean, it's just about providing information to the young people to keep them as safe and free from harm as possible, and at the same time giving them the information and the knowledge to say, you know, beyond these, you know, this outburst, which is important and significant, you have to become organized and thinking of organization in a different way where it's not vertical, where you knock off the head and the body falls, but a more horizontal movement where, you know, not only each one teach one because it rhymes, but each one must teach 10 and 20 now because there's such a dearth of information and resources now. So it's about really pushing forward an agenda of revolution, revolutionary ideas and concepts behind the outburst, people coming together in groups and supporting in every way, shape, and fashion possible. If you're a teacher, teach. I mean, Katie, you have a show. You're like a teacher. You're informing the people. If you work at Burger King, I mean, whatever, instead of throwing some food away, maybe give some of the protesters or the people some food. We have so much power if we just recognize what is it that you do in this space that you're in and you understand what's going on out there in the streets, try to give your support. If you can afford to go down there, in body, you should go down there and support it. But what's more important is not it was what comes after the fire in terms of having this kind of horizontal leadership as opposed to, you know, the old paradigm that we know has been unsuccessful in the past.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks once again. Okay, Brother Kevin, thank you for honoring me with your presence. What is your take on A, what do you feel about the way the children chose to do it, and B, whether you agree or disagree, how do we keep the fire, you know, flamed and keep going once the noise dies down?
Okay, and I thank you for having me on the show. We did have to talk earlier, and I told you I was going to call in, so I was going to call. I've been listening, and I totally agree with the gentleman. I'm not aware of your name, sir, but I totally agree with you. I'm sorry?
My name is Tylon.
Tylon, all right, I'm Kevin, sir. And,
I met you the other night from the GoPro radio.
Oh, my brother. I've been wanting to talk with you. Very good. Good. Okay, we got to keep you here, man.
Yeah, I'll
talk with you. Okay, I definitely want us to link up, you know, so we definitely do need to talk. What I have to say is I'm proud at this moment of the youth because they're actually doing what I call a controlled fury. Now, they're being forced into this fury via the police doing what they're doing. Our brothers with Anonymous have made sure that the police can't talk to each other like they normally would, so they can't really be as effective as they normally would, because if they were able to communicate, this would have already been pretty much crushed and more people would have been hurt, but they would have went home. The fact that they haven't been able to be organized, that has played into empowering our youth. You know, our young people are actually tired because they realize they're the target. They know that they're the ones. They're not shooting guys my age. You know, they're shooting people that are babies, literally babies. And that's basically, we don't know if the cure to AIDS has been taken from us. We don't know if the cure to any of the other ills has been taken, if the cure for Ebola. We don't know if these things have been wiped out due to some crazy-ass cop deciding that he wants to enforce his agenda or whatever, you know. And then what I find amazing is how angry the youth are about them trying to protect this cop. I mean, right now I have about maybe 20, and I know there's at least 20 young people on my inbox on the page who are trying to become Panthers. And I intend to make every one of them a Panther. I don't care if all they can do is sew. Great. We need you. Okay. I don't care what their skill is. Come on. Because you guys are the ones that's going to have to take this to the next step. Now, you said the second part of that question was about the fire burning. We're not going to have to worry about that because the government is going to keep fanning those flames. You see, this is all part of a bigger initiative, okay? The government, like I heard someone say about those toys, the military toys that they have, because I thought it was crazy. There's a little town out here near me called Los Lunas. My sister lives there, okay? And when I first came out here, I found out that her house was the hood because she was the only black people there. Okay, so, you know, they have tanks. And the thing is when you're going through the main street, because this is like a village, it's very small, but going through the main street, you see the police parking lot. And I was amazed. This was about maybe 4 months ago, 5 months ago I saw this. But they have not one, not two, but three tanks. And these are tanks, fully armored tanks. And I was looking at her, I'm like, what do they need tanks for, you know? And then I noticed that you know, I had always followed that the smaller towns were getting this military-style equipment. And it made me think, well, if a small town like this is getting this, what does a city like New York have? You see, I think that all the police departments are not there to protect or serve any of our interests. Those police departments work for one entity and one entity alone, the U.S. government, okay? They are there, the front line, to keep us in check. We're not going to have to worry about the flames being fanned. I'm almost done, okay? We're not going to have to worry about fanning the flames because they're going to keep fanning them. They're trying to force our hand because the moment that we get an uncontrolled fury going across this nation, then they can impose martial law. And once they impose martial law, that is when we really will separate the wheat from the chaff. We're determined that we're not going to be the chaff.
Okay. Let me just jump in here and say, Carl, I hear what you're saying. And 2 points I want to stress on, I just want to expand on a little bit what you were talking about, that this was a national program. This stuff is all over the United States. It started from Washington. Washington is the one that created that 1033 program for the exchange of military equipment coming into the city. That plan initiated in Washington. This is something they want to do nationally. And now they're seeing the fruits of it, and they're seeing how the people are reacting to it. One point. The second thing I wanted to say, what you mentioned about what we need to do as far as on a national level, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with it? Well, we got to organize. Bottom line, we need to organize. The only way we're going to get anything done to get this out of, you know, for them to get this out of their system. There are those cops. They look at that brand new shiny new equipment. And they want to use them. If you give them this stuff, they're going to find a way to use it. They don't look like police, like a city police force anymore. And they don't act like it either. We saw that on TV last night.
It's even happening now, you know. That is true. Even the police are amazed at how they look when they see themselves on TV. They look like an invading force. They don't look like a police force, you know. Sister Katie, I just wanted to ask that the panel and any of your callers, I want to leave my number, and Tylon, definitely I need you to take this so that we can talk at some time later, because I'm going to have to go. But I wanted to make sure that we can still stay in touch, and I will be calling into this show a lot more now that I know how to get on. Do you have something to write with?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. 505.
I learned how to flip it for me, hon. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brother Kevin.
Huh?
I was telling him he'll have to write it, and I'll have to get it from him because I don't have a pen in front of me.
Okay,
oh, no problem.
505.
I'll make sure. 417.
9899
505 417 9899 All right. Yes, and you all can have that. And a quick PSA to the NSA. Don't fuck with me.
Drop the mic, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're gonna mess with us all, but I think
that's
the key is
that... Brother Kevin, thank you once again for honoring me with your presence and with what you do, sir. Thank you so very much. And
I want to thank you. I thank you. This is very important what you're doing, and I love all of you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Go out there and help some kids.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You guys take care. Good night.
All right. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Well, Katie, can I say, too, that, you know, I got this from Khalil Khan, that a white man can walk into a theater, he can kill several people and make it into the police cruiser alive. Young, unarmed black men do not have that privilege. I think it speaks to, you know, the kind of mass murders that we've seen across this country in schools, and they treat, you know, the assailants, as long as they're white, with the best of care. You know, and we could be unarmed, just coming in from work like Amadou Diallo, or coming from an event where we're trying to celebrate, you know, us getting married like Sean Bell, and, you know, lose our lives. You know, white supremacy and all of its forms is alive and well, you know, in this country. And the only thing, once again, that's going to change that is a revolution, total revolution in our thinking and the way that we act, the way that we treat each other. And it'll bring about, I think, the kind of the action that we're starting to see, you know, in Ferguson and other little places that, you know, people aren't really talking about and promoting.
Absolutely, Tylon. Sister Kim, thank you so very much for waiting so patiently in the corner. What's your take on, what do you feel about the way the children chose to express, and despite your opinion about that one way or the other, now that they have and brought some attention and made this change move, how do we keep it going and don't let it die?
Thanks, Katie, for having me, and thank you for everyone being here.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. Tell me how to say your name. Tell me how to say your name again.
Tylon. T-Y-L-O-N.
Tylon. Okay, Tylon. Okay.
Tylon.
I think it's a wonderful thing that they've done, and the way that we can keep the motivation going is to build what we've been envisioned to build. Because just say, for instance, they're off to war. When they come back home, they're going to need jobs. They're going to need services. And y'all already got that set up. So, and we're not, I'm sure we're not the only people that have the vision to do what we're doing. So we just have to connect the dots. And when we connect the dots, our children will have, they'll have an education, they'll have services that they need, they'll have employment, they'll have everything. This whole system will be changed, and they changed it. So I think that we should continue to work on the things that we've been, I'll use the word ordained to work on, and when the time comes that it's over, they'll have jobs and everything to come back to. Are you understanding what I'm saying, Katie?
Absolutely do. And that we were speaking about black economics all of last week, and the reason why that's so important, but right as it stands right now, before we could even get there, at least we have things like this, like you said, it might be a makeshift alternative for now, where they'll have a show to come and express their opinions. They'll have people like Professor and you and Erica and Kylan and, you know, all of us here that have, like Patrick said earlier on Professor's show, you know, we've identified and recognized it, and we're aware. So at least now we have at least that little group of people that can each one teach 20, as Kylan just said. So, yeah, I understand you fully, and I agree with you totally. There's like a bunch of people coming in, and I don't have as much time. So let me try to bring in everybody one at a time.
Yeah, for me, you can. I'm done. Go ahead and use everybody else. That's fine. I'm good. I'm listening.
Are you kidding me, woman? With all your input?
No. I'll let you know. But let everybody talk, and probably by that time, I'll be ready to get back in.
All right, you refuel. Okay, hold on. Welcome to the show, Paula. You're on the air.
How you doing, everybody? This is Patrick, Tylan, Kim, everybody else.
Hey, Pat. Hold on. Okay, you got. Let me see. One person after you, so no, two, I think. No, one, okay. I'm sorry, it's a little messy over here. All right. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, this is me?
Yeah, who's this?
My name is Idris Roberts. I'm from Birmingham,
Hi.
Alabama. How
All right,
you doing?
There's a panelist on the mic before you, and as soon as he's done, it'll be your turn, okay? And
sure.
Welcome to the show.
Thank
All
you.
Right, let's go. First question, your feelings on the choice or the method that the children used to express their outrage, you know, for Michael Brown, and whether you agree or disagree with that particular physical action, what do you think we can do to keep the fire going so that it doesn't die out like the post-Malcolm, post-Marcus, you know, and post-Martin scenario?
Well, how do I feel about the method they used? To be honest, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I felt it was sloppy, but I'd also be lying if I didn't follow that up by saying you can't blame them for it. They haven't been taught how to fight the war that they're fighting. They haven't been prepared to engage in the types of things that they're being forced to engage in. So, you know, I love the fact that they had the stones enough to even engage, because in so many other places, when we get kicked in the stomach, we just take it. Or, you know, we scream for a little bit while the pain is there, and then that's it. But we never really lash out. We never really do anything with the energy. So I love the fact that they've done something with the energy. I do think it's a tad bit sloppy, but like I said, you can't blame people that haven't been trained in war for going to war and making a mess. You can't blame somebody that's never been taught how to use a grenade, never seen a grenade before, for pulling the pin and holding it in their hand. You can't blame them for that. You know, you have to blame the people that should have been teaching them how to do those things. You have to blame the people that should have prepared the landscape for this to never even happen.
That's right. That's right.
So I agree. I love the action. I love the energy. But I think it's sloppy. What do I think we can do to keep them going? I think we need to get behind them. I don't think now is a good time to tell them to sit down and shut up like so many others are trying to tell them to do. I think that's another way of dissipating the energy, another way of killing everything. I think we need to stand behind them. First off, I think we need to actually, and this is going to be hard for a lot of people, we need to tell them that we're proud of you. We're proud of you for standing up. And I think in doing that, we gain their ear. We gain their confidence. But even it's deeper than gaining their confidence, because it's deeper than psychological warfare, psychologically playing games with them. We need to genuinely let them know we're proud of you for stepping up and saying enough is enough. We're proud of you for standing up to people that you've been taught to obey for no other reason than they have a badge. We're proud of you for recognizing that people that treat you like you're subhuman don't have a right to treat you like you're subhuman. We're proud of you for recognizing all these things despite the fact that we never taught you to recognize these things. Because if they had been taught to recognize those things, they would have responded differently. You know, they're responding like a child that's never been exposed to something. All of a sudden, they're responding like a child that's never been exposed to cold water or a hot stove, and all of a sudden being thrown in a cold bath or touching a hot eye. They're screaming, "What is this?" So I love the response, and I do think it's sloppy, but I do think we need to get behind them. We need to tell them we're proud of you. We're proud of you for recognizing the things you recognize. We're proud of you for taking action. Now, let us refine your action and let us turn your action into long-term change. Let us talk about what we can do when you're at home, not when you're out there on the battlefield, but when you're at home and you're building and you're learning and you're getting jobs and all these other things, all these other institutions, like everybody else was saying, that we can be setting up for them for when they come back, which is kind of weird to say for when your children come back from war. But for when they come back, they'll have a place where they can learn, they can grow, they can take control of their community, and they can establish a culture of prevention so that this thing doesn't happen again. That's the short and condensed version. Yeah.
That was a great short and condensed version. I'll be right with you, Adrice. I want to kind of say what you said just slightly different. When you said they're reacting like children who haven't been exposed to it, they're reacting like children. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be out there and kind of be a little tantrumish about it. Why? Because we dropped the damn ball. We did that. We sat there and watched our kids get murdered and said nothing. We turned on each other, and I told you before, one of my biggest pet peeves is with these damn old-timers who walked this walk directly. They were children themselves in this. And have the nerve to turn around now that somebody did something and have the nerve to be a finger pointer like the rest of the world that brought them to this point. How freaking dare you, in my opinion? How dare you? And yes, right now, we should, Erica said a little bit better than me when she said that we need to apologize to them for having to been asleep up to this point. But now we're standing behind you, we are proud of you, and we're going to be here to pick up a little bit of the ball just in case you now take this little misguided way of going about it and get into deeper trouble or harm to yourself. Now we'll be here. We're proud as hell of you. Thank you for doing what we should have done. But we're going to stand by you to make sure that from this point on, no further harm comes to you. They were kids, and they had more guts than we did. I'm sorry, but that's just the bottom line of it all. Adrice, let me bring in the panelists behind you, and you have the mic first, dear. Hold on.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
How y'all doing?
Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Wait 1 second, Adrice. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Deacon. How are you?
Hey. Good evening and blessings to all the members of the panel and all the listeners.
Deacon, you have the mic right after Adrice says, okay? Adrice,
okay.
Your first question, what do you feel about the method that the children chose to use to express their outrage with Michael Brown's death? And whether or not you agree or disagree, now that they've started this change, how do we keep the fires going so it doesn't die out?
I think it was somewhat reckless. I understand that everybody has to take their stand on the situation, and I respect where they're coming from. However, you have to think in terms of economics. These people have insurances on their businesses. You're making it easier for them to invest more money to gentrify you. And what I mean by that, that's what they're trying to do anyway. That's a low-income area. A lot of guys, well, a lot of men in that area are not financially able to do anything, you know, as far as taking care of their families and stuff like that and making investments, the proper investments, to put themselves in a better position in life. Where I'm going with this is that they should take the same energy that they're rioting in the streets with and try to build an economy for themselves. And this will cut out a lot of problems. When you live in a low crime area or when you live in a high crime area, low income, that's a lot of crime because of the poverty that exists.
Okay, can I just jump in here real quick?
One second.
You have to let me finish saying what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. Whose turn is it?
It's Idris's turn.
Okay. Let me just say, I looked at the statistics for crime in the city of Ferguson. It's a town of 20,000 people. 67% are black. They had 40 robberies for the year. In 1 year's time, they had 40 robberies, no homicides. So let's talk about high crime area. That's not what Ferguson is about. It's a low income area, but the crime is not high. So, you know, so I don't want to hear about, oh, it's a high crime area, the police did what they needed to do, and, you know, they shouldn't be out here burning down buildings and all that stuff. Think about it. The people who burned down that QT store they were talking about, how do you even know they were from that area?
You have to hear me out.
You
have to hear me out, what I'm trying to say.
Oh, wait a minute, Mark. Wait a minute, Mark. Hold on. It was his turn. Let him finish out his point.
What I was trying to show you guys is that when you live in a low-income area, there's a high potential for crime. I'm telling you this because I'm from one, and I've done things in the street. So that's not my forte now. I actually live a clean life, and I own two businesses, and I actually work a full-time job. Now, but what I'm trying to say is we should be building an economy for ourselves and producing a better image for our people. If we can do that, that may take some of the tension off of people seeing us, as Neely Fuller would call us, trashy, tacky, and terroristic. That's how the world sees us. We have to put a effort forth to make ourselves look good.
One second. Idris, I agree with you, right? But here's what you're missing, though, okay? You're talking about a first knee-jerk reaction to a kid that was killed. And
right.
His friend, his friend watched this happen. Probably have seen it over and over again and couldn't do anything about it because we usually tell our kids they're supposed to be seen and not heard. That's number one. Number two, you forget the fact that these were kids reacting with no adult guidance, with no strong village in place anymore. Now, I agree with what you're saying, but instead of us as adults who failed them to this point saying that it was sloppy, and the other thing I wanted to bring up, but I'll finish this point out first, was this. Okay, instead of us standing back and saying that this was sloppy, this was a bad thing, a bad look on us, this was not something that should have happened, first of all, nobody pointed out, which the media, run by white people, never will point out that not one business that they destroyed was a black business. That's number one, if there was destruction to black business. Number two, I don't think those kids were thinking a hot damn minute about income, low income, or what to bring in that particular moment. They were reacting to the fact that their friends are being murdered and they could be next. And there's no adults standing there, standing up to these vigilantes. Not one. But I agree with what you're saying. I mean, overall. But that's our job. Our job now is to say, all right, it got here. All right, we didn't do what we had to do. Now it's time for us to make sure that this train doesn't crash. Not stand there and go, no, let me take over. You're driving this wrong. Because none of us stood up to take the reins in the first place. None of us. Deacon, you have the mic now, dear.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say to those young people that I understand and I back them 112%. Considering what they step forward to do without any adult guidance, like you said, because like you said before, Katie, is the reason is we dropped the ball, and if they had been brought up and taught from the
there's some background noise coming in, and anybody who has background noise going on, respect the panel, mute your phone until it's over, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, as you said, that we dropped the ball. They're supposed to be the elder statesmen, and we lost touch with a lot of our young people, and that's a very sad thing. But it's not like it can't be fixed. We are a strong race of people. We have been known to survive a whole lot of things, you know, and we all know that. When we look in that mirror, we can see some of the traces of the scars that we've been through, and we're still going through them right now. You know, some people want to say, well, things are a lot better than what they were, you know, but they still got a long way to go. And as far as this Missouri thing, man, it's people. When are we going to start acting like this is not just something brand new that's been going on? It's just that now the spotlight is directly on it. And it's not going to do anything but getting worse, because this is just like treating a dog that you've got locked up in your backyard, and every time somebody goes by him, they kick him, and they kick him, and they kick him, and they kick him. But you got to think, one day you're going to walk by that dog, and that dog is going to be done work some kind of way to get a link loose in that chain and break free. What are you going to do now? You don't know that dog has been broken away from that chain, so you go over there and you kick that dog. What do you think is going to happen?
Very good analogy. There are 1, 2, 3 panelists behind you. Let me bring them in. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Hey, Katie. Panelists, what's going on? It's Professor Carl Tone Jones.
Hey,
what's going on?
All right, let me bring in the other two panelists, and if Deacon has a point to finish, and then you'll have the mic, Professor.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on just a sec. Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Yom Chavez.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Chavez.
Oh, hi, Chavez. Okay. There's a panelist behind you and a panelist before you, so just hang on, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Hi, welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Good afternoon. This is Mark from Brooklyn.
Hello, Mark from Brooklyn. Okay, you'll be up in about three turns. All right,
Absolutely.
You can just... Were you done with your point?
No, well, like I was saying, if you kick that dog and not knowing that he's got off that chain, there's going to be a problem, you know. So it's time for us to get refocused and something, because the signs are being thrown in our face every day. You know, there's a lot of some people are doing a lot of talking, but you have a lot of action people too. But it's time to put these action people and these talkers to work. You know, this is long overdue. How long are we supposed to be a people to sit back and take stuff like this? They're killing our young people, man.
Okay, before I pass the mic to you, Professor, let me just bring our other panelists in. 1 second. Welcome to the show, call you on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, you can hear me? Hi, how are you?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Kay from Cali.
Hi, Kay from Cali. You're on the mic, okay? Just hang on with us. All right,
okay.
Professor, spin it. First question, your feelings on the choice of outrage protest that the children used, and despite whatever you feel about that, they did start the ball rolling. So how do we keep the ball rolling?
And I'm glad I get to talk on your show, because on my show I pretty much have to mediate everybody. So I get to let my hair down over here.
You don't have any hair.
Yeah, I know. So,
all right, let your beard down. Go ahead.
You know, I'm just really not, and I respect everybody's opinion, but I'm not in the mood to hear no Monday morning quarterback shit today. And I'm just going to be real frank about a lot of this. When Trayvon Martin died, where was these tips, clues, and hints for these young brothers and sisters on how to react to this?
Uh-huh.
Or did people sit on their hands? When Jordan Davis died, when Darius Simmons died, when Venetia McBride just recently died, where was everybody at talking about all these ideas for us to have a organized protest, or to have to be able to channel the energy into a positive direction? We had a chance then, but we were a bunch of pussies. And let's just call it what it is. We sat on the sidelines, and we're still on the sidelines while these children are out there on the front line. They responded because nobody responded for them. That's like going into a house where a 14-year-old is running the house because his father left out and his mother abandoned him. So he's taking care of his siblings. How do you expect that person to take care of the house the best way they can? So these children responded the best way they could. I have nothing but admiration for the way they handled the situation. Now, I agree with Patrick on the part where we need to support these young brothers and sisters and let them know that they have our support. We can't cut them off at the knees right now because the train is already rolling. So
right.
The train already rolling down the track. We need to make sure that we hop on that train and ride it out through all the volition. Maybe we're going to hit some peaks and valleys. Maybe we're going to have to struggle going uphill with some issues. But the bottom line is, they started something that we sat around and waited for it to happen. So who the hell are we to tell them how they should have done things and how they should organize things? I'm not trying to say anything, but I hate that hypocritical bullshit. You know, let's not continue to pretend like we have the heart or we have the courage to do what they did and are still doing amidst all types of third world artillery that's headed their way. Who gives us the right to sit back and be judge and jury when we didn't have enough courage to throw our hat into the ring to begin with?
Go ahead.
Can I just jump in here and say something? I agree with the last caller as far as the young people have got out there and they started something. And people who've been sitting on the sideline too long that should have been out there when all those other killings were going on. And true enough, there's enough blame to go around for everybody. But more important than that is, now that this train is moving, everybody needs to get on board. It don't matter if you wasn't on board before, because if you didn't do nothing then, now is your opportunity. Now is your opportunity. We can't let this die right now. We can't let it, just fizzle away and let it just be about Ferguson, because Ferguson is about everything else that's been going on. It's about what happened in Florida. It's about what happened in California. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me go on to our other panelists. Let me see. I'm sorry. I forgot your name, but 815 area code.
Yeah, Chavez. That's me.
Yeah, hi, Chavez. Sorry about missing your name. Right. Okay. First question. Your opinion on the choice that the children used to express their feelings about the situation, and despite whatever you feel about that, they did get the ball rolling. How do we keep it going?
Okay, before I start, I want to make sure that I'm clear and that you can hear me clearly. Am I clear?
Yes.
Okay. Let me preface my comments by saying I'm 19 years old. And Mike Brown is 18, and I completely understand. I will understand the outrage. But having said all that, I disagree. I disagree with the action that's being taken. But I don't condemn it, but I disagree with it. And this is why we live in a society that was built on the subjugation of the black man.
and it was it's perpetuated by white supremacy. Every time you turn on the television set or look in the media, you see the black image being manipulated to where they show us as savages. They show us as violent. They show us as people that's not united. And I believe that the way that the riots that the children are doing, that validating their point, that's making us look bad. But again, I don't condemn it. I disagree with it. I just disagree with it. But moving on to the second part of it, how do I solve it? How would I solve it? I believe it's the perfect chance to really push group empowerment. And the way that you do that, the way I feel that you would do that in particular, that you would do it via boycott to begin with. I feel like you should boycott all the business owners that have no interest whatsoever in the community. And whether you do that, just make sure that they don't feel comfortable in the community, whether you have to keep rioting their stores or whether you have to boycott it, whatever you do, make sure that those people are out of the community. And it doesn't even matter their color. If they have no interest in that community whatsoever, make sure you get them out. Secondly, before I move on to my second point, I'd like to bring up the NAACP. I was watching a video the other day, and the president of the NAACP, I don't know if he's the regional president or the national president, but they said they had a chapter in that area for the last 100 years. And my question to them was, if you had that chapter there so long, why in the world did you wait till now to speak up? I mean, there's not that many black people as policemen, and the police have a history in that particular area of abusing black people. And if the NAACP is supposed to be for the black person, why in the hell didn't you speak up on these issues a while ago? Again, my second point is group economics. Once you boycott all of those organizations and all of those people that's already in the community, I mean, you put in place the people who do have an interest in the community, and you practice group economics. And my third point, moving on to my last and final point, I believe in self-policing. I don't believe it's right to go to the same policeman who has a history of abusing black folks.
Chavez, you made some excellent points. Excellent points, but I'm going to go back to this question. All of that is wonderful. All of that is something we definitely need to do. But we're still talking about the fact that these kids were reacting to an imminent situation with no direction, with nobody doing us. And you know what, Professor? I swear I love you because you always come in with the perfect one-liner. Monday morning quarterback shit. That's what this is. Now everybody, like you said, where were all these notes of wisdom from these people who buried their heads in their sand or covered their eyes and played hide-and-seek or peekaboo? Where was it? Now you want to tell these kids who did something, who got something going, that there's a problem now? You talk about that after we get them out of the danger and we keep this thing going. That's what you do. But everything you brought up is absolutely something that we need to do to keep it moving. But how dare anybody have anything to say about the way these kids did it when nobody watched that car in the garage stay parked? That could have been the thing you roll over the garbage with, and nobody decided to even turn the key in the door to step inside. That's
can
right.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah, you can.
I didn't condemn them. I just said I disagree with it.
No, honey, not you. I'm just speaking on the fact of that one point. And like I said, I agree with everything that you said. You said you're only 19? You said you were 19, Chavez?
Yeah, I'm 19 years old.
You have a remarkable old soul for a 19-year-old. And believe me, I'm saying that with the utmost of a compliment. Okay? Because we need more people your age thinking like that. And it's not even thinking that way already, being inquisitive enough to get to that point. Because you are like those kids on that front line with just a little more reason than you. Okay? So you know, for every bit of whatever it is that you're seeking. And you are a person that's in a very powerful position because you are actually in the group in the same age, same level, same platform, same plateau as those people, and you can teach exactly what you're saying to these kids when the anger goes down, when the heat is down. You can teach them and make sure that next time around, should there be one, this is the way we'll do it, and we'll be more progressive to ourselves and get more real stuff done. So I commend you 100%. 602 area code.
Before.
Yes, hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. What's your name again, honey?
Mark.
Mark, just give 1 second to bring a person in, and then you'll have the mic, okay? Hold on 1 second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie. Hello to everyone that's on the panel.
All right, Spitfire number two. All right, Erica, you're third in the queue because there's Mark, there's a person in front of you, and then you, okay? Mark,
okay,
honey, your first, the question first on the panel is, what do you feel about the choice that they used? And then whether you agree or disagree with the way that they did it, the ball did get rolling. How do we keep it from dying out?
Okay, well, the reality is that it is a knee-jerk reaction. The reality is that there's going to be this bottled-up rage because it's basically in your genetics. You know what's been going on throughout history as far as black people being abused by white supremacy here in America. So obviously the first thing that happens when there is a violent action towards a black person is fighting and protesting. However, the time for rioting and protesting was in the 50s and 60s. That time has passed. You are now fighting one of the worst psychological wars in history. This is not a physical war anymore. This is psychological. So basically what's happening with the youth in today's society is you're being goaded into rioting because that's an old technique. That's an older technique. That's an old model that doesn't work anymore. They're prepared for that. So when you, as a young person, you know, let that rage out and try to riot and gather your friends together and try to speak out, they're cutting you off. You know, the foundation is being cut off, you know, at the knees. They're out there with riot gear, rubber bullets. They're taking your names down. They're taking your IDs. This is a psychological war. So you have to, the only way to continue this, you know, this fire burning is education. You have to learn how to play the game, and that's where we lack. We don't understand the game that we're playing. We're playing checkers, and the cops and the government are playing chess. There is no way that these riots are going to do a goddamn thing because the same thing happened with Trayvon Martin, the same thing happened with Sean Bell, and it's going to continue to happen. So the reality is once you understand that you are at war, that's the first thing that you have to do. As a young person, understand that you're at war and then know your enemy. And there's an African proverb that says, know thyself. And that's what you have to do. You have to understand what your capabilities are and what the reality is. I know a lot of people are talking about guns. A lot of black folks are talking about buying guns and arming themselves. But how it is, if you don't know how to shoot a gun, you'll be shot down immediately by even militias that are surrounding you.
And, Mark, once again, I'm going to go back to the fact that all of that is absolutely true. It's deep. It's definitely imperative. But you're still speaking about a group of kids that was acting based on what they were feeling at the time. It was a knee-jerk reaction. And we were not there to stop them from getting to that point, to ever guide them to say, this is the reality of our world. They don't like us. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to try to destroy you. Nobody, when there was a little break, if we really had a break, in between these atrocities, stood there, as the professor just said, and did their damn job. Nobody all these years after my generation lost the village, okay, picked up the ball to do a damn thing. Now everybody
I agree 100%. I agree 100%, but that's part of the problem. The problem is
knowing thyself, knowing about group economics, all of that stuff should have been taught. But now that these kids opened the door for something that was long past due since the 60s, okay, they did something. Mm-hmm. It may not have been the best way. I will say that. It may not have been the best way. Okay, but
correct.
Something happened. Understand, white America, with us. That's all they do understand. It's hard to calm us down because now they don't know what to do with all of this. After this, like the deacon just put out an analogy, you keep kicking this dog because you swear to God he's on a chain. He's going to remember you're the person that keeps kicking him, and you keep coming by, kick him, kick him. And when he comes out and bites your ass, now you want to blame the dog and put him down.
Well, right, but that's the nature of white supremacy. The whole nature of white supremacy is projection. They call you a savage when in actuality it was white people here in America who were cutting babies out of black women's wombs and castrating black men and lynching and burning them. That's projection. That's part of the game, but it's part of the psychological game, the psychological war that we are playing. And the unfortunate reality is that the older generation, I'm 36, and the older generation, my parents were part of the civil rights era. They were part of the psychological warfare game, too. They just didn't realize it yet. They didn't really understand.
Those, the kids that were on that line, like you said, knowing about the history, guess what? This is a generation that is being taught in schools that are diluting and trying to eliminate and eradicate even the little bit of black history that was in this. They're not, and guess what? We didn't step up to the plate to fill in the blanks. So they are acting on the limited resources that they have. They're acting on it. There should be not one of us right at this moment that should have a critical thing to say about the action that they chose. Because, A, they're children, and children react to things that make them angry or scared or frustrated, and they act out. They stomp around the house. They cry. They put their thumb in their mouth. They bang. They scream. I want it. I want it. I want it. That's what they do. These poor kids went out there, half cop, full of anger, full of rage, full of pain, and guess where we were? Yes, the master. Don't worry about it, master. No, that's okay. Jay-Z's all right. My fiance's cool. Let's go out there and get mad on social media and then go back home and go support these people again. So I don't have a damn thing to say about them except, okay, we got this out. This is going to happen again, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what we can do. Sorry I failed you, but we're going to take it from here with you. We're going to be with you every step of the way. Thank you, panelists, behind them for waiting.
Can I say one more thing?
I got to give these other panelists a chance, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just think that the key now is if we're past blame now. At this point, blaming is not going to do anything. We understand that there were some shortcomings of the generation prior, and the youth of today don't really know what to do, but that's part of the brainwashing. That's all part of the plan. So what needs to happen now is each person takes at least 1 to 10 youths, educate them on the history of this country, in truth, give them an education about what has happened in this country, show them the game that is being played, and let's learn how to play chess. Show these kids today how to move forward. And that's, we can say group economics, until we blew in the face. It's not going to work because there's not enough unification, there's not enough education when it comes to the game that's being played. That's what you have to focus on.
You're absolutely right. And that's what we need to do now that we've learned the lesson from this. Not while these kids are still in the middle of this heated rage with people coming out with tasers, tear gas, and all sorts of things. Now they're adding more people to come down and around these kids. You're absolutely right. But that's what we need to learn after we stand by them now and get them past this. That's what it is. But none of that is spoken at this moment. It should be spoken when we've gotten these kids to safety. Let me see, who am I missing here?
Can I say something to that, Katie, real quick?
Mark, we have a little bit of time. Let me get their first words and try to hold your thoughts for me, honey. 602 area code.
I think that was me.
Yeah, what's your name, honey?
Mark.
No, okay, wait a minute. All right, so 620. Oh, Erica. Okay, go ahead, Erica. You're up.
Hi. I'm not to be disrespectful, but I think if I answer your questions, it's going to be to the point where I'm being a dead horse. Because at the most part, no, I don't disagree with anything the kids are doing. I think everybody just about on the panel for the last hour and a half has said just about what I would say. But with that being said, I do know one thing. Everyone agrees that this movement should not end and should not stop
So I want to challenge everyone on your panel tonight to start their movement. And if you're not going to start your own movement, help contribute to this movement, or you can help contribute to the movement that you are, Urban Intellectual, is starting. If you have time, you can go to our PayPal, donate. It's urjane81@gmail.com. If you could donate $1, $2, whatever you could have to donate to help start the movement that UI is trying to get funded. But also, it's time
can
for us.
Can you state that email again?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you state the email again? Because I would like to make a donation.
Yes, it's urjane81@gmail.com. And it's urjane81.com.
Okay.
And it's Urban Intellectuals. You can look us up on our webpage, www.urbanintellectual.com. We're on Facebook. But Patrick, I'm not sure if Patrick is still on the line. He is the number two in command. And then Chavez used to be an admin. Hello,
okay.
Chavez, UI. But it's time for us. We could talk on Katie's show. We could talk on Brother Marie's show. We could talk on Professor Carl's show. All day long, I'm one of those people, I'm not for talking long. And I've been talking about this all week. I'm tired of talking. Let's put our words into action. It's easy for us to get on the phone late at night, dedicate a few hours, a few words, but it's time to get our hands dirty. Let's get out there. And if you can't get to Ferguson, if you get to Ohio, if you get to L.A., if somebody that has experienced injustice around this country, you're near a region. Start a protest. Because how long are we going to talk about it? The white supremacy has shown us that they're all about action. We're still about
talking.
So New York, get in contact with Sean Bell's family. Put Sean Bell's family in contact with Brother Eric's family that was just killed. All these families should be in contact with one another on movement. If you're not near New York, if you're near Ohio, if you're near Missouri, if you're in Chicago, if you're near L.A. on the West Coast, if you're near Florida in the South, it's time for us to stop talking and start moving.
Yes, yes.
Move, start and contribute some money to some people that you know trying to move. I'm not talking about the NAACP. They take money from white Donald Sterling. I'm not talking about Al Sharpton. I'm not talking about Reverend Jackson. Find some of these kids that's out there.
Beautiful.
See if they need
Beautiful.
Water, food, or somebody might need a hotel to stay in. Stop talking and let's be about it. It's just that simple.
Turn off.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Stop talking about it and be about it. One thing I do agree with Usher on, okay, I will say that. Don't talk about it, be about it. We got too many people talking, too many people going around the circle, and by the time our so-called cyclic conversations happen, we wind up getting off the topic and start banging at each other all over again.
Right.
You know, ridiculous. Ridiculous. We're like rice on the maze to them.
Hey, Katie, this is Kim. I wanted to see if I can put a plug for the financial.
Yes,
our children are on the front line, and we have no economic base. So I'm going to give, in addition to UI, there are two more places that we can donate money. The children have their lives out there, but we need to donate money so that we can get them jobs. When they come back from, and when I say jobs, I mean jobs in black communities. I'm not talking about corporate America, because these kids have stepped up, and there's no going back. So the group that I have is called Liberators of Black America. It's the LBA Fund.
Liberators.
And you can think of it as it's liberatorsofblackamerica.com, and it's on Facebook, Liberators of Black America. You can think of it as the Red Cross United Way, because those groups get their money from their people and fund their stuff when they're in crisis. Do we have a fund like that in black community? We do now. It's called the LBA. So let everybody know. You don't need You don't need no more. And when you go to the website, let me think how you say it. Everybody can donate, but only a selected few can join the group. But everybody can donate. And if you got ears to hear, you can understand that. So we have the LBA. We also have the BBnomics.com. BBnomics.com. That's a black-owned crowdsourcing fund. Because, see, we need to get into the front of this thing because I don't understand. I don't think y'all understand. It's about to be a marketing thing going on. And y'all know when they market, they getting it off of us. But we're at the forefront because we already told you places that we can put the money for black businesses. We talking about everybody talk about what we see. I'm asking y'all right now, we need the money. We need the $1 trillion to be in our pocket. And it don't take but a hot minute to get that $1 trillion in our pocket. You can put a third of your trillion. Okay, say you want to give $60. I'm going to say $60. You can do $600. You can do $6,000. You can do $6 million. Figure it out. You put $20 in the UI fund. You put $20 in the LBA. And you put $20 in the BBnomics. Now, BBnomics.com, and I hope y'all understand how I'm spelling it, BBnomics.com. That is a crowdsourcing fund, a black-owned. It's not Kickstarter. Everybody running Kickstarter. That ain't black. Everybody runs to Indigo. That ain't black. We have one, BBnomics.com. I don't know if Shanae is on the line. She has a fund there. Patrick is getting a fund there. Umar Johnson is on there. People have been chit-chatting, but people have been working too. And it's time for the rubber to meet the road for the people that have been working. Support it. Support it. Support it. When you go to BBnomics, I'm going to use this as an example. Just say you want to give $100. There's 10 different – the way that they have it set up, you can do like a shopping cart. If you want to give 10 businesses – and everything is black. Y'all want black? We need black. Black is here. We want black. We need black. Black is here. I hope y'all hearing what I'm saying. So when you go to BBnomics and you want to give $100, you have $100 you want to give, so you pick 10 projects. It's just like shopping. You pick Omar Johnson. You go to a shopping cart. You pick Omar Johnson. You pick the state of the black parent. You pick all of the things. You can go there and read it and everything. So when you give your $100, you give it to 10. You give it to 10 different groups. The company. BBnomics, which is black-owned, I've talked to her all this week, for us to set this thing up. You got some people talking. You got some people action. The people that
on
want to
action. On the Ed
Wait
Show.
Huh?
I said in the
people,
On the Ed Show.
Oh, Katie.
Kidding,
did you set up? Okay, when she – On the Ed Show has a – okay, we're going to get to that in a minute, Katie. Katie, well, let me stop right there. Y'all go to BBnomics. And you can pick, you can do whatever you need to do. You can give $10, you can give $100, you can give $1 million, and you can spread it out the way you want, but it's all black. Y'all asked for black. We've been working for black. Black is here. Now, let me tell you this. That BBnomics, that's 2 years old. So when the media comes talking about, oh, y'all just trying to get the money today, it's like, oh, no, boo-boo, this is two years old. Katie has been doing what she's been doing for the longest time. You can go to... GoFundMe. Well, I'm gonna let where? Okay, hold on. Katie is working with nothing. Katie is working with nothing. She's gonna give you the website, but I'm gonna tell you when you read that website, you need to fund what she has going on. Now, the KKK is funding each of those police officers that killed our son. The KKK is funding each officer that killed our son. So they killed the sons, they're going to get $1 million. What the hell are y'all going to do with money? This is a capitalistic society. Nothing can run without money. Cream, cash runs, whatever it is. The kids know that. That's why they out there. What are we going to do? We the ones that have the jobs and go to these damn 9-to-5. We do it. The kids don't. Take that $1 trillion, and it could happen overnight. Taylan, can't we put $1 trillion in these three funds overnight?
Right.
I mean, you could do that overnight. You can do that overnight.
Yeah.
We got black. We got black. Everything is black. I'm serious, y'all. This is y'all playing. Y'all playing. Katie, go ahead and tell them what your site is for GoFundMe.
Well, there's actually two things on there. One is business. One is another situation. And you can actually catch that. I will be putting it up on Facebook and on our official website. Our official Facebook page, which is On the Edge Show with Katie Bonnet and Friends on Facebook. So for those of you that need to go to a direct link, it's www.facebook.com/ontheedge.
You know, black people keep complaining about we don't do anything, we just sit there, we don't do this, we don't do that. But what black people don't understand is none of this stuff is free. I heard this one guy once say, being a revolutionary or activist does not pay his bills. Therefore, he has to be a part-time activist. They're not killing us on a part-time basis. When you die, you're dying full-time. So we don't have time for part-time activists. And I respect the fact that he said that, hey, I got mouths to feed. I have a wife to support. So I can't do this part-time for free. So therefore, I'm a slack on the activist side, and I'm going to work and make money for the man, because guess what? The man is who's paying my bills right now. And that's where we drop the ball as black people. Don't nobody want to work, or we cannot afford to work for free. Never mind keeping up with the Joneses. We're trying to keep our lights on. We're trying to keep water and food in our mouths. So therefore, we can't do this for free. Not saying we need our bills paid, but what we're saying is we don't have extra money to come out of our pockets to make travel arrangements.
And you know what?
Erica, can you tell us who funded the 60s movement?
The black people, the black church. Black people felt that it was a need for it. They wanted to be liberated at that moment, so therefore they weren't spending money on their weeds, and they weren't spending money on plasma TVs and LCD screens and coach bags and Dooney and Burks and all these. We weren't materialistic back then because they didn't allow us to be. But now we're allowed to be materialistic, and therefore we don't see the need to fund a revolution. We don't see the need.
Yep, now we're Beyonce followers and Jay-Z cheerleaders, and we're self-destructive. There's a panelist coming in. There's only a few minutes left. Let me bring them in. Hang on a second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. This is Hakeem.
Hey, Hakeem. What's up?
Hey. I hear you. You know I love the show. So when I oppose views or just look at it from a different way, it's all in trying to find the dialogue that's going to get us to where we need to go. I see it as we have to start at the root, and getting upset and running into the street to me is not the way that it is going to work. It's going to do something. But I'm not sure if it's the minds of those children that are actually making them do that. To me, I think that somebody's already planted those ideas in their heads so they get to do something that's still outside of law. And once you're outside of law, you're a lawless, stateless person, and you know, the police have a right to police you whichever way they feel, you know, fit that's going to protect the rest of society.
Are you kidding me, Hakeem?
No, really?
Are you kidding me? When you see the way that this society is choosing to police black communities?
It's already written in their laws. I'm not saying it's right, but who are you choosing to be?
And what I'm saying to you is this. There is no way in hell that any black person who is watching their children be mowed down, bullied down, executed, just destroyed, who could possibly say that a child would bring this upon themselves because other people planted seeds? These kids are acting out of fear.
That's not true. There are black people who are saying that.
Black people
are saying that. That's what you have to understand. This is a psychological war. There are black people who do not support you, who do not believe that they're right.
The police have the right to police us the way they see fit. You clearly see the only way they see fit is Samoa Joe.
No. You're missing it. You're missing the point. I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that's what's fucking happening. It's happening. So you can't look at the situation and say that if this is a bad situation, we got to do something about it, and then not do anything about it. That's what's happening.
That's my argument. That's my argument. My biggest problem, though, is that people who sat back and watched it happen, half of the world in our community talking about we need to get together and do something, then they do something and get the hell off to make sure that whoever else wants to join them does it with them and leave the rest of the world hanging. This is my problem. Here's my other problem. When everybody who didn't do a damn thing and somebody says, I'm going to do something, I don't know how, but I'm going to do something because I've had enough, then everybody else who could have did something better suddenly has all this backseat psychological advice. This is my problem.
You asked the question, though. You asked the question.
Let me ask you something. What do you feel would have been the best way to do this in a knee-jerk reaction with a bullet sticking right in this person's head? This cop emptied a clip on an unarmed teen in broad daylight, 15 feet away from him from a car.
His family has a right to file a grievance. They have civil rights laws where there are repercussions for them doing them wrong. It's not that they don't honor it. It's that they know the law.
Cops are not honoring any civil rights law because guess what? Civil rights laws were put in place in the 60s. Okay?
No,
I'm not saying those
are the best, but I'm saying that's what's available. There is something available.
You're talking all of this stuff that comes, like I told everybody else on this panel, after this problem has been resolved. Now we learn from this big mess, we're supposed to pick up the ball from there, learning a new lesson, and make sure that doesn't happen again. Guess what? That didn't happen. And I'm sorry, I'm not yelling at you, I'm yelling at the situation.
I totally understand.
Completely tired as hell as everybody, and we do this on social media too. Everybody's got so much to say when the stuff comes out and something already happened. Nobody did a damn thing that they swear to God now they've got expertise down on doing when it could have been a preventative measure.
I've already been in the situation. It's happened
really?
To me. I just
okay.
didn't. I'm not laying in the street right now, but it did happen to me.
It's
the same thing, get out of the middle of the street. He told me, don't walk in the street. It was midnight. I happened to be walking home from work.
I came home from work, and two cops actually rolled up on me on the sidewalk and blocked my walking on the sidewalk. All he saw from me was my sore feet. And do you know what happened? He demanded my name, who am I, how old I am, and the whole nine. And I asked him, unless you got something to ask to tell me that you are stopping my walking for, I'm not giving you a damn piece of information.
Katie, can I say this?
Let me
say this real quick, Katie.
White cop looked at me. I was in the middle of speaking. I will promise you get your chance. White cop looked at me like, how dare you, little black lady, have the nerve to defy what I asked you to do.
Exactly.
Right. I don't really see that you guys really disagreeing. I mean, some semantical things going on, because I understand what he's saying in terms on the ground. But first of all, the rebellion itself is totally legitimate, and a rebellion does not have to be a panacea. I think a lot of people have other expectations that, you know, historically rebellions have not been. Uprisings are a signal and a call of the real wishes and authentic desires of the people. But then you have intellectuals, you have people who are speakers, you have people who are thinkers and doers, you have some people who do more, and then some people who think less. But I think the important part, of this rebellion is, once again, the very, very important psychological capital. That, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're talking about it. We've been talking about it for several days on the Katie Burnett Show. It's on the American landscape. It's like it was the number four story, now it's the number three story, now it's the number two story after Robin Williams. But, you know, the point of the matter is, had it not been for this outburst, no one would be talking about the kinds of injustices that we've endured for so long. So there is something to be gained, and I think people just need to take their position. I mean, like the sister was saying, there's an economic piece to it. I don't think that's a panacea. I don't think we should say, okay, once we arrive at, you know, a X amount of dollars, now we're in power, because we saw what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rosewood, and Harlem, and so many other places when black people gathered economic, so-called just economic strength. But we have to understand wealth, and that the wealth is within the people. And once we start to organize, we start to actually look at each other as valuable in terms of even what's happening on Katie's program, and make sure that her show is properly funded, because we're using this as a nexus to connect with each other. There's people from all over the nation on this phone call, and she is in serious trouble. And they do that, particularly in New York, keep a lot of communications infrastructure off balance economically. I did a film about this called Disappearing Voices, The Decline of Black Radio, where there's no black radio stations in New York City. You know, it's just, and this is on purpose. This is done by design so that we're off balance. We don't know what to get behind. This is the first time I've ever heard of BBnomics, and it's been around for two years, and that's jacked up. You know what I'm saying? It's because our communications infrastructure is messy. So I think it is important. There is value in talking. I don't necessarily think that people who talk don't do anything, although there are people who talk and don't do anything, but there are people who talk the talk and walk the walk. But we have to support each other, and we have to understand the importance of this institution called the Katie Burnett Show. We've met each other because of it, and we have to pay homage to that first. We have to take care of home kind of first. Now that we're here and we're talking, we can start looking at all the other things that need to be not only funded. People may have some resources. You might need a computer. I might have an old computer here. Hey, you guys need a laptop? You need the laptop. Some of us have skills, whether it's, you know, it's about, hey, you got a hammer? Homeboy got some nails. We got some wood. We can build a shelter for all of us. You know, it's about finding out what those things are. It's not just always just, you know, dollars. Dollars that help. Yes, it does. But, you know, sometimes there's some real skills here that we can kind of come together to make our survival a little bit more tangible. So I support where the rebellion is, and I support what everybody is doing, and let's just continue to build and grow.
I agree. Okay, there's a few minutes left, and Professor, I believe you had a point.
Yeah, you know, I think we're getting a little sidetracked here.
I need you to speak up on my end. I can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I think that we're getting caught up in what happened, you know, based on what we see in the media coverage. The riot took place the first night. After the first night, there's been nothing but peaceful protests with these young brothers and sisters. So I think they're being misrepresented, even with the information that we share amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is even these peaceful protests, they're getting attacked by these police regalia and all these military-like officers out there shooting tear gas, flash grenades, and using high artillery weapons towards them. And they're getting injured during these melees that are caused when these police machines are out there knocking over film crews, arresting reporters, just so they can't tell the truth about what's going on out there. So I think we need to really take a step back and understand that maybe these young brothers and sisters are a little further ahead than what's been reported in terms of how they're actually handling the situation.
This is Kim. They've taken Ferguson global. Everybody in the whole world knows about Ferguson. The people in Gaza, they're tweeting our children to tell them how to handle the tear gas. So I would like to know how many people on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, you don't know what's going on, and that's all I have to say. Well, no, I take that back. And Antonio French, he's a councilman that has put so much footage out there. He got arrested. America arrested the vote. You got a politician that got arrested, and people all over the world, they look at that. We have our children have totally turned the United States foreign policy upside down. So if you ask me, they've done a hell of a lot. They've done a hell of a lot.
In addition to that, Kim, we also have truces between Crips and Bloods.
yes.
going on right now. I'm looking at a live stream right now in a protest in New York City where people are walking around proud, and they're filling up Times Square with their hands up in the air, walking towards police brigades. So, you know, for all the, you know, we have to, let's get behind these young brothers and sisters, because it seems for one, they're communicating, and maybe they're more organized than we are.
They so, are. They're using the skills. They're using Twitter and Instagram. It's not the days of the march no more and singing how, you know, you be quiet and you get on the computer. They have a computer. Let me just say this. They have studies that show that there's a technology gap. That technology gap is gone because every child out there has a whole computer on. They have a whole computer out there, don't they? So where's the gap now? We gotta watch what we say. We can't use these old cliches. Oh, black people can't do this. Our children have done it. It's done. It's not what they're gonna do. It's done. It's done. When you got Gaza, who's fighting Israel, our children are fighting freaking Israel out there. What are y'all talking about? Our children are fighting Israel. Am I right or wrong? That's not theory. That's actual. Our children are fighting Israel. If you're not on Twitter, you don't know what's going on. The UK.
Can I just jump in here and say this?
Wait a minute. Stop speaking papers. All the major newspapers around the world are carrying this story. You want to know the number one reason why? Because America is not. America is not carrying this story. So that's why y'all don't know what's going on. If you're not on Twitter, you don't know what's going on. Because they have blacked out since the first day. They have blacked out. Now, anything you see now is totally twisted because they blacked out the first 2 days, and we started, Antonio French started doing the footage. So the media is at least 3 days behind. So you can't watch TV and think you know what's going on. If you're not on Twitter, you don't know what's going on, and I am so serious because all the stuff that y'all saying is so not true. If you're not on Twitter, you don't know what's going on. If you're not linked up with Antonio French, you don't know what's going on. If you you just don't know what's going on.
I have to log off because we have 2 minutes left, and we will be continuing the conclusion of this tomorrow. Unless, of course, the riots continue through the weekend, we will be back on Monday to continue the discussions because we need to keep this on the front page, both sides. We need to keep both sides of this on the front page, what they're doing and what our kids are doing, because if nobody else is going to stand up and give them a thumbs up for this, okay, then we need to do it. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Thank you all for coming, and I appreciate what each of us are doing here and in our individual neighborhoods. Kim, Patrick, and Professor and Erica, if possible, I kind of need to hook up with you a little bit after the show. So I will call you guys and thank you all for coming. God bless you.
Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.